going on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pals, Mass Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check, here with your TNA No Surrender 2024 preview. But before we get into that, one thing you got to mention if you're talking about TNA right now is the fallout from the release of Scott D'Amore. Now, I don't want to say too much right now because I don't know what the story is, to be perfectly honest with you. The sort of headline is that Anthem Sports, the company that currently owns TNA, Impact, whatever you want to call it, they ousted Scott D'Amore because they wanted somebody more TV-centric to be running the ship, running the show, you know, big corporate takeover, you know, conspiracy theory stuff. Now, anybody that knows me knows I hate the stereotype, oh, if somebody's in charge, if somebody's a boss, if somebody has power, if somebody has money, they must automatically be bad. Having a lot of conversations with people about TKO, for the very same reason with the Rock stuff. That being said, Scott D'Amore talk to virtually anybody, and he's, you know, the behind the scenes heart and soul of TNA, and it struck everybody at a really weird chord. Now, further rumors were that he was pushing them to spend more money, invest more, try to get bigger stars, try to get bigger venues, try to get more people in the buildings, etc. He was asking for more money at a time where Anthem was trying to justify putting in less, which is shitty, if true. And another rumor was that he and a couple of investors had actually gotten together to buy TNA from Anthem. Which I also don't know if that's true, but that would have been kind of awesome. And it does kind of bring up the idea of if Scott D'Amore does have, you know, people in his corner, people in his inner circle of an investor capacity, could he create something new? I mean, the sort of the wrestling market, and I'm not a business person, so I don't know why I'm talking like that, but it's kind of flooded right now with WWE and NXT kind of doing its own thing as well. AEW, for better or for worse, and they've got ROH as well. I know New Japan Strong is over here. I hear a lot more people talking about MLW than ever. And TNA itself has just sort of replanted itself on the scene with Hard to Kill, which I thought was an amazing start and an amazing show. Would it be feasible to go and start something new? Would the people that have been outspoken about his release be so behind him that they would leave a contract or turn down contracts from other people to go and join him? I could see potentially yes. Now, I don't know anything about Scott D'Amore as a person. I met him once very, very briefly at a Destiny show here in Mississauga. Seemed like a nice enough dude, and that's all I can really say. Now, since the departure, just about everybody on the roster has come out with their own takes on it. You know, this is really sad. You know, he's the guy that got me to come in here. He's the guy that gave me my first contract. All these types of really, really happy stories. And I will take them to heart because I've spent so much time, as you guys know, at Destiny and Impact, Destiny and TNA. Have always had a really close working relationship. So a lot of the people that you now see on TNA are people that I have seen and had a chance to speak to and whatever at Destiny. So their words do hold a lot of weight with me when they talk about Scott D'Amore, etc. There was, I believe, spearheaded by Tommy Dreamer. I could be wrong. There is an open letter to all of Anthem, basically not demanding, but saying like, hey, we see what you've done here. We don't agree with it. You need to have a wrestling person with you know, sort of a wrestling heart or whatever you want to say, running a wrestling show. Please reconsider. Please keep the, you know, this TNA family together, all that kind of thing. I don't know what's gone on with that since. I don't know if there's been any official response. I don't think there has been, to be quite frank. But what's happened now is there's rumors that Steve Maclin may choose to leave the company, which is interesting. He's with Deonna Purrazzo, who's just made the move over to AEW, so that's something to consider. They just took the option to extend Josh Alexander's contract for another year, which is interesting. They just made Jade Chung, his wife, their main ring announcer, which I don't know if that complicates things or not. I don't want to speak for them, obviously. I've gotten to sit and watch from the front row way too many Josh Alexander matches to not say that that guy is fucking amazing. And Jade Chung also has been involved at various stages with Destiny. I think she does an amazing job. I thought it was amazing news when she was announced as the new announcer for TNA. She's awesome as well. Want nothing but the best for all of these people, but specifically these people that have entertained me so much. But there is a growing dissent, and if you follow on Twitter, all these TNA stars posting hourglass emojis, and the speculation is that either we're all waiting for our contracts to run out now because we don't want to be here because of what you've done to Scott. Is it either each person individually is saying, okay, now I'm counting down to the end of my contract, or are they counting down to some kind of walkout or protest or no show or something like that? I don't know whether that's the case. I don't know whether it's just like a viral thing that they're trying to get going. I don't have all the answers for that. And here's the thing. I don't want to speak for anybody else. I will speak for myself. I loved TNA when it was the six-sided ring, and everybody that we know has gone off to do awesome things elsewhere. AJ Styles, current AEW champion, Samoa Joe, Daniels, and I mean, the Young Bucks were in TNA at one point, and you see where people who have been there have gone to, and it was a great springboard, but like seeing them at that particular point in their career was awesome. I thought the six-sided ring was awesome. I think me being the Jeff Hardy guy that I am, it gave Jeff Hardy somewhere else to go at the time, and then I fell off of it, and I've said it a million times, going to Destiny shows and seeing the ties between the two companies literally got me back into watching Impact. And when they announced they were going from Impact back to being TNA again, I was like, okay, I'm going to jump on board. I'm going to come up and talk to you guys about TNA more. I'm going to see what there is and all that kind of thing. So it puts me in a really interesting spot as a fan. I don't know about you. I mean, clearly you're a TNA fan if you've clicked on this podcast, but on the one hand, I hope that TNA family stays together. I hope TNA gets a run. I hope they get to be like the proper third brand, like the ECW for the current generation, with the two big companies being WWE and AEW. And yes, I'm including NXT when I say WWE, and I'm including ROH because that's basically AEW's NXT. So AEW, WWE, and the third brand would be TNA. I said it to you guys at the beginning of this year. I hope to see them performing at the Rico next time they come to Toronto. And for those of you that don't know, the Rico is where WWE does their house shows. It's a great place. It's a really cool place, actually. All the Toronto Maple Leafs and Toronto Marlies banners hanging everywhere. The other side of that coin, though, is if Anthem are pulling this strong-arm thing and it's going to change what the company is and everybody's going to be unhappy, then obviously I don't want to support that part of it. And there are people, I said this a while ago, and I said this when she was fighting over the ROH title, when they had Deonna Purrazzo on Dynamite for one night. It's like, okay, put what I think of AEW and what I think of Dynamite aside. Love Deonna Purrazzo, love seeing her get that bigger audience, and now she's permanently moved over there. Jordynne Grace came out at the Rumble. I thought that was awesome. I thought if they had gone tit for tat with that and thrown like Moose in the men's Rumble, awesome. Somebody like a Josh Alexander, an Aiden Prince, etc., getting a WWE size stage would be fucking awesome. Do I want to advocate for all the people that I like coming to WWE? No, because then you strangle TNA. You do. But it's a weird spot because I want to support TNA if the wrestlers that are still there are supporting their own place. If it's somewhere they don't want to be and they're all looking to get out, then there's no reason to support those initials anymore. And those initials just came back like a month ago. I don't know. I would love to see Decay in front of a huge arena audience. I would love to see MKUltra in front of a large audience. I would love to see, like I say, Josh Alexander, Aiden Prince, Trey Miguel. Trey Miguel, when MSK first came to NXT, a lot of initials going on there, I thought that eventually Dez and Wentz coming to NXT, Trey Miguel would come over as well. And I would get to do the whole thing. Hey, NXT fans, here's this person that I saw at a local Destiny show. I did it with Shotzi Blackheart. Here's hoping Shotzi Blackheart recovers from her injury, by the way. But Trey Miguel was the Destiny Next Generation champion. And then I got to see him on TNA. And would I love to see him pop up with his boys in NXT? Absolutely. Now, what's his name? Wentz got Me Too'd to shit and got booted out of the company or whatever the case may be. He got kind of fucked with. And Wesley's going off on his own now. But Wesley, Trey Miguel on a WWE stage? Fucking yes. Let's do that. So it's a very interesting situation, and I've rambled on around it for about 20 minutes now, and I will get over into the pay-per-view. I'm not saying I want there to be like a walkout or a protest or anything like that, but I do think in a lot of ways, in a lot of companies, it would send a shockwave. Like, we have a voice and we're going to use it, and you don't have a show if you don't have people in there on your show, as Chris Jericho would always say, throwing themselves at the ground for a living. So maybe listen to us. Personally, I think the Scott D'Amore thing sucks. I think you leave him at the head. He got them to where they were. He got them to the point of being TNA again. Put him back in his spot. Bad thing to take him out. Switching over to the pay-per-view itself now. Two matches that I'm surprised are not on the show. One of them is Nick Nemeth and Steve Macklin, but like I said, there are rumors that Macklin's leaving, so I don't really know. Nick Nemeth being on, like, making his debut at Hard to Kill and then not being on the next pay-per-view at all, according to Wikipedia. I'm recording this on Wednesday, so we've got one more episode of TNA Impact to go before we get to the show, but the show is happening on Friday, which is why I'm giving you the preview now. It's a little disjointed, I apologize for that, but it is what it is. I would say they'll announce Nick Nemeth and Steve Macklin. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, Nemeth goes over. He's doing the whole, I'm going to start at the bottom and work my way up. But, I mean, there's not going to be very many speed bumps for the former Dolph Ziggler, is there? Now, on the other side of the coin, you've got the TNA Originals, who teamed up as the TNA Originals at Hard to Kill, and that's Young and Kaz. And then they lost a match on the pay-per-view, and then they lost a match on TV, and then Kaz beat the shit out of Eric Young. Kaz is awesome. I really like Kaz. Incredibly underutilized in AEW, which could go for a lot of people. Let's be real for a second. That's why WWE got Andrade back. But I like him as a character. I think he can do pretty much any role you need him to play, and Eric Young's crazy. And I like crazy shit. Now, as I said, Nemeth is beating Macklin if that match is even happening, especially if he's on his way out the door. He goes out on his back. Nemeth gets to step up. That makes a lot of sense. Young and Kaz is kind of a different thing because Eric Young is the sympathetic favorite, but also if you want to keep it going, have Kaz turn on him and then have Kaz beat him so that the babyface has to question himself a little more. We tell a bigger story for later on down the line. But if I need to pin down predictions for a match that I don't even know is happening, Nemeth over Macklin, Kaz over Young for a rematch to be set up later on down the line. On the kickoff, we have The System, and this is something that they're pushing now. Eddie Edwards, Brian Myers, and Moose, The System, along with Alicia Edwards as well. Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers are taking on the Intergalactic Jet Setters, which is Kushida and Kevin Knight. Don't really have much to say about Kevin Knight. I really like Kushida. I really think it's cool that he found himself a place to be here in TNA. But as I say, they're pushing this System faction, which really looks like an all-heel Island of Misfit Toys. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just don't think in any way, shape, or form Eddie Edwards, Brian Myers. Eddie Edwards, who is a tag team partner with Davey Richards, and he hasn't been seen in years and years and years. Brian Myers, who was obviously a tag team partner with Matt Cardona for a long time. Eddie Edwards was also part of Honor No More, which was a faction that came and went now that Honor is again. I don't know. Couldn't make a pun out of that to save my goddamn life. Kushida and Kevin Knight, when what I really want to see is Kushida with the Motor City Machine Guns, but they have individual titles to worry about. I don't know much about Kevin Knight, and I haven't seen much Kevin Knight. I do think on this one you give the system the win, because that's the overarching, oh, the bad guys are doing bad guy shit thing that they're trying to push right now. Chris Sabin defending his X Division championship against the debuting Mustafa Ali. Now, again, bias. Again, I'm going to talk about Destiny. I'm going to see Mustafa Ali take on El Diablo Gabriel Fuerza at Destiny's upcoming Carnage show. I'm going to be sitting in the front row to watch post-WWE Mustafa Ali take on Gabriel Fuerza, and that's going to be fucking just tops. That's going to be fucking sick. I'm looking so forward to that. Mustafa Ali doing what he did a little bit of in WWE before they squashed it. The whole presenting himself like a politician because, you know, the elections are coming up and Trump's got his own shoes and people are very upset about it and whatever. The fucking golden shoes called freedom shoes. That popped up in my Google headlines today when I was at work, and it popped me fucking rotten. But anyways, Mustafa Ali doing this whole, like, politician adjacent in Ali we trust thing with a guy like Chris Sabin, who knows what Mustafa Ali coming to TNA does. This is where you get, you know, when AEW was first getting up off the ground, and every time they signed a WWE person, it was like, oh, this person just left, AEW is going to save them, they're really going to flex themselves in somewhere new. Look at Nick Nemeth. Nick Nemeth came in, he went up against Zachary Wentz, he went up against Trey Miguel, which was a lot of fun, on his way to facing Steve Macklin, which is sort of his first official rung on the ladder to get up to the top. Now, Mustafa Ali isn't starting at the bottom, but he's starting at the mid-card title, not the main event. So, same kind of thing. Chris Sabin, Mustafa Ali is going to be a fucking fantastic match. Mustafa Ali, as far as I know, only has like 10 appearances on this deal that he has with TNA. I don't think it's a 5-year deal or a 3-year deal or whatever the case may be. So either he's going to have a really good showing and Chris Sabin is going to look like a fucking star, or Chris Sabin is going to do all he can, make him look like $1 million, drop the title for a little bit. Mustafa Ali carries the X Division Championship while he's there and drops it off to somebody else. Maybe a Nick Nemeth. Just saying, I got to get used to not calling him Dolph Ziggler, so I have to sort of hit the name over the head. If you're putting a gun to my head and you're asking me to make a prediction right away, I'm going to go Mustafa Ali. Chris Sabin is the 10-time X Division champion. Chris Sabin currently is on his longest reign of his 10 reigns, and I think the thing they said at Hard to Kill on commentary was that Chris Sabin is the only guy to hold every version of the X Division belt. What before, when it was the X belt, and then it was the X Division belt, and then through Global Force and Impact and TNA and GCW and all the different iterations that belt has gone through. Remember when it was Global Force and they were all neon green and it was gross? The new belts they have now are fucking gorgeous too. I thought by putting the bright red and the bright yellow on the belts it would look tacky. I think those belts are fucking gorgeous. Mustafa Ali to win in his debut match. As I'm recording this, tomorrow night, we're going to be seeing the debut of formerly known as Dana Brooke, Ash by Elegance, managed by George Iceman, who's a really cool dude. Another guy from Destiny that I got a lot of chance to chat with at Final Resolution, the last Impact show, the very last pay-per-view under the Impact banner that took place at the Don Koloff, the home of Destiny Wrestling. I got to sit with George Iceman for the main event and just talk about how awesome wrestling is, which is one of the coolest opportunities I have had, because I'm not in the biz. I do this. I talk to you guys. And really, really cool. So I'm looking forward to her debut, as well as I'm looking forward to George Iceman playing this manager character that already looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Jordynne Grace versus Giselle Shaw speaks for itself. Giselle Shaw won the Women's Ultimate X match to get this championship opportunity, Giselle Shaw and the Shawntourage were fucking with Jordynne Grace and Trinity before Trinity finished up her business in TNA to go back and be Naomi in the WWE to be part of the Elimination Chamber, and we'll talk about that in another pod that I'm also recording tonight. So it's all, there's a lot of synergy here. I would love to see Jordynne Grace show up at the Elimination Chamber and just rip Naomi out of her pod. That would be fucking awesome. It's not going to happen. You know what else isn't going to happen? Giselle Shaw's not going to win. Jordynne Grace is their tent pole flag bearer of that division, and good for her. Like, she's an absolute monster in the ring. Another person I've gotten a chance to see a lot live in the Don Kolov Arena. Giselle Shaw is like a heel bug that's going to be squashed, and I think it's pretty simple. TNA Knockouts World Tag Team Championships, a rematch from the unannounced match that we got at Hard to Kill. Decay, which is Havoc and Rosemary back in their darker forms or whatever the case is giving the contractual rematch clause to MK Ultra, which is Match Slamovich and Killer Kelly. I don't know with this one. I really don't. I like Decay as a group, but as individual wrestlers, I like Masha Slamovic and Killer Kelly. So I think they kick so much ass, and I think they are, I don't want them, I wouldn't say I would want them to break up and then feud and then go for the main title, because I think they work so well as a unit. It's not announced as any kind of stipulation or hardcore match, but with these four ladies, it's gonna be these four ladies beat the shit out of each other, and whoever's left standing have the belts. Probably Decay, because a 1 month, like, returning at Hard to Kill for a 1 month title reign isn't so great, and there's not a whole lot of, I know they've got Jody Threat and Danny Luna have sort of formed a team as well, but there's not a whole lot of tag teams on that roster. So let Decay and MK Ultra have an issue that kind of festers a little bit. I don't really know who the baby faces and heels are, because they're both just like, you wouldn't want to fuck with us teams in different ways. If I have to make a choice, DK's probably going to retain here. The win is going to be in the match. The win is not going to be in the result for this one, for me. Very, very similar thing could go for PCO versus Khan. This is going to be big dudes hitting each other. Khan just broke up the design with Diener, and he's gone off on his own. Khan, for those of you that don't know, is Connor from The Ascension, who were in WWE way back in the day. The dude is massive. I wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley. Him and PCO are going to hit each other a lot. He's just broken away. He's just finally decided to be a singles person. I guess they want to put something behind that decision. Khan probably wins. PCO is wrestling's Frankenstein. He doesn't lose anything with a loss. He's still going to have his wicked entrance where they come in with the booster cables and they have to wake him up, and there's like orderlies from the insane asylum and shit like that. It's going to be a lot of fun. PCO doesn't have to win to be fun. That's the other thing as well. He's going to do some ridiculous moonsault that a guy his size shouldn't be able to do, and he's going to do Frankenstein stuff. It's going to be fun. Josh Alexander versus Simon Gotch. Now, I saw a preview, because I did the whole like 99-cent watch Impact on YouTube thing, because I can't be bothered to find the streaming services that Impact broadcasts on. I'll be perfectly honest with you. But because of that, it usually means because Thursdays are a night that I usually record, I usually watch TNA Impact just before SmackDown on a Friday, if I'm home and if I'm watching things in any kind of order. But I got sort of a thumbnail. It's like Simon Gotch debuts in TNA to attack Josh Alexander. And I'm like, well, that's kind of awkward and random. Until they very helpfully pointed out something that I had forgotten, even though I was in the building for it. The story has been told many, many times, and I've told it many, many times. I've seen three Impact / TNA contracts be signed in the middle of a Destiny ring. One of them was Trent Seven's, one of them was Speedball Mike Bailey's, and one of them was Josh Alexander, when Josh Alexander was presented his contract by Scott D'Amore, going back to how we started off this podcast. I forgot that that night, the opponent that Josh Alexander had just handily beaten was Simon Gotch, going by Simon Grimm at the time. So he's come in and he feels like his part of the story has been left out. I don't know why you would want that part of the story to be in. Oh, I was the guy that was beaten, but it's something. It took me from, well, why the hell did they put those two together, to, oh, okay, that's why they put that together. And I was there. I should have remembered that. Now, the other thing is, the other straw that stirs the drink in this one is Alan Angels 5 from the so well-received Dark Order, who's now in TNA as well. He's trying to get his own talk show off the ground, because you can't possibly have enough talk shows in wrestling. He tried to interview Josh Alexander, and it was lame, and Josh was just like, what the fuck are you doing? And then they had a match, and then Simon Gotch was on the same show, and Josh Alexander came in and attacked him. So, in any normal match between these two, like, Simon Gotch has just come there to be a shit disturber, more or less, I would go with Josh Alexander, but I'm going to predict that there is interference from Alan Angels, and we get some kind of odd couple short-term, some type of working alliance between Simon Gotch and Alan Angels. Now, it is interesting because obviously Matthew Raywalt, formerly known as Aiden English, is on commentary. So every now and then you've got Tom Hannifin saying, hey, you used to wrestle with him, didn't you? Yeah, you don't need to do that. Because then Aiden English went on to sing about Rusev Day, and it's not Rusev Day. Hell, it's not even Miro Day these days. So there's a lot to tie in there. There are some strings to pull to tell the story if you want to. I think the match will be great. I don't think Simon Gotch is any kind of bad wrestler, but Josh Alexander's a fucking machine, and if Alan Angels isn't getting involved in this match, Josh Alexander's going to kill him. Toot sweet! And if he's going to be mandated to the company for another year, I hope they're doing something good with him. I hope it is in his favor. I really do. I speak very much from the outside. Very, very much from the outside. So it goes with what I said at the beginning. I hope everybody's okay with whatever the hell we're doing here. But as I say, if you're somebody that I've seen as much as I've seen somebody like a Josh Alexander, you just want good things for the guy, don't you? You want good things for him and his wife and everybody else involved, and Scott D'Amore, even if he doesn't come back to TNA, you just want all the good things. I think Josh Alexander versus Simon Gotch is going to be a great match. I really do. But they've told this background story, so I hope there's a story to come out of it, not just, hey, here's two great wrestlers having a wrestling match, which is also fine, by the way. The finals of the best of three series between ABC and the Grizzled Young Vets didn't take them long to get in the title picture, which is awesome. The best of three series was set up by Santino Marella, who were he was kind of trying to appease the Grizzled Young Vets, who were upset that they had to make their debut in the four-way at Hard to Kill. And he said, well, you can't just walk in and accept a title match, which is sometimes true and sometimes not true. Let's be real for a second. I mean, look at Mustafa Ali on this card. But he says, I will give you a chance. I will give you a best of three because ABC want to get their hands on you because you guys have been shitheads. I do think it's really funny that I guess, and this is a guess on my part, I guess WWE owns the name Grizzled Young Veterans, so they have to be the Grizzled Young Vets. I don't know if that's true, but it's kind of funny if it is, because that's really petty. High-flying, awesome athletics from the only Bullet Club members left in TNA, am I right? Let's just pause for a second and say that Gallows and Anderson invaded NXT last night, and that was hysterical. They look bigger than the ring when they stepped into that recording studio. I like NXT, but damn. But ABC, being the remnants of what was Jay White's Bullet Club in Impact Wrestling when it was still Impact, is the ABC, the Ace and Bay connection, versus the Grizzled Young Veterans, who just want to punch somebody in the face, maybe break some fingers, do some British Strong Style adjacent stuff. And who's going to take it? Probably Grizzled Young Vets are going to take it. I'd love to see Ace and Bay both as sync, like still keep them together as like a unit, but I'd love to see one of them, like Ace has already been the X Division champion, I think. Has Chris Bay been the X Division champion? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I don't know. Let either one of them go for even something as fun as like the digital media championship, or hell, you got, right, or at least for right now, you've got Alex Shelley. Alex Shelley versus Ace Austin? Absolutely. Alex Shelley versus Chris Bay? Absolutely. Or Moose versus either one of them. You want to tell a David and Goliath story with either one of those guys? That would be awesome as well. I do think the Grizzly Gung Vets take it. I do think they're going to get that ball and get to run with it for a bit. But if I'm wrong and ABC hold on to those titles, I wouldn't really mind that either. I know somewhere in the background, Speedball Mountain, which I am so happy is a tag team right now. You don't even know. Speedball Mountain going after either of these guys would also be fantastic. I know that Speedball has had a lot of matches with Ace Austin and Chris Bay in separate scenarios. The Grizzled Young Veterans taking on, you know, one of their former NXT UK roster members, along with somebody that can kick your face off like a Speedball Mike Bailey, would be a hell of a match. And if you get that, if you're going to do Grizzled Young Vets versus Speedball Mountain, save that for the next pay-per-view, please, so I would, so I could come up here and talk to you guys about it some more. Grizzled Young Vets are going to take it, 99% sure on that one. Moose and Alex Shelley in a rematch for the TNA World Championship. Now, they've both got people in their corners, per se. Alex Shelley has the Intergalactic Jet Setters in his corner, and Moose obviously has the System in his corner. As I said with the pre-show match, I'm going to say the same thing here. I think Moose retains. I think Moose retains because somebody built like a brick shithouse like him taking on Alex Shelley should probably eat Shelley's lunch. Shelley's an amazing wrestler. I'm so happy for that guy to see him in the main event scene holding the main title for how long his tenure is in TNA. I know he's gone off and he's gone other places and he hasn't been there the whole time or whatever, but like, when I talk about the old days, when it was Daniels and Styles and Joe and Kaz and you know, Beer Money and all that, the other part of that equation way back then was the Motor City Machine Guns. And the fact that both of them are carrying singles gold right now is awesome. That being said, Moose is a killer. Moose is a killer that shouldn't need any help, but he has it. Now, if you include Alicia Edwards in there, even if the babyfaces want to come out and help their babyface friend, they're still outnumbered 4-3. So, much as I, personally, would love to see Alex Shelley absolutely topple Moose Mountain, I don't think it's happening. A, because Moose is a beast, and Moose with that championship does look like a fucking badass. But as I said at the beginning, and I'm saying it now again at the end, I really do think that wherever they're going with this System faction, I do think it's going to be the prevailing overarching story over the whole thing. That's just my opinion. Please let me know. Please let me know what you guys think down below. I'm just getting back into the swing of covering TNA on a more regular basis. Let me know what you think about the pay-per-view, but almost more importantly, let me know what you think of like what's going on in TNA right now, the whole Scott D'Amore thing. Do you think the wrestlers are going to do something drastic? Should they do something drastic? Would it be a bad idea to do something drastic? Should they bring back Scott D'Amore, or should Anthem stand their ground? If you're of the business opinion and you want to stand up for Anthem and say, look, they made a decision, they need to stick with it, I would love to hear that side of the conversation as well. Do not get me wrong. Now, that's not any kind of slight on the wrestlers or Scott D'Amore. That's just me acknowledging that there is another side to this conversation. I've been Spaz, your YWC Reality Check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start another conversation. Keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to each and every last one of you later, but right now, I am talking.